Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 26. Kalavritya tumayayam Gunamaya maroksaja Purushenatma bhutena Viryam arata viryavan. Word for word. Kala, the eternal time. Vritya, by the influence of. To, but. Mayayam, in the external energy. Gunamayam, in the qualitative modes of nature. Atoksaja, the transcendence. Purushena, by the Purusha incarnation Mahavishnu. Atmabhutena, who is the plenary expansion of the Lord. Vidyam, the seeds of the living entities. Adata, impregnated. Viryavan, the supreme living being. Translation. The supreme living being in his feature as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes. And thus, by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Translation, please repeat. The supreme living being, in his feature as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes. And thus, by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Purport. The offspring of any living being is born after the father impregnates the mother with semen, and the living entity floating in the semen of the father takes the shape of the mother's form. Similarly, the mother material nature cannot produce any living entity from her material elements unless and until she is impregnated with living entities by the Lord himself. That is the mystery of the generation of the living entities. This impregnating process is performed by the first Purusha incarnation, Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Simply by his glance over material nature, the whole matter is accomplished. We should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality God in terms of our conception of sex. The omnipotent Lord can impregnate just by his eyes, and therefore he is called all-potent. Each and every part of his transcendental body can perform each and every function of the other parts. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.32, Angani yasya sakalendriya vritimanti. In Bhagavad Gita 14.3, also the same principle is confirmed, mammajoni mahat brahma tasmid gharmam dadamyaham. When the cosmic creation is manifested, the living entities are directly supplied from the Lord. They are never products of material nature. Thus, no scientific advancement of material science can ever produce a living being. That is the whole mystery of the material creation. The living entities are foreign to matter, and thus they cannot be happy unless they are situated in the same spiritual life as the Lord. The mistaken living being, out of forgetfulness of his original condition of life, unnecessarily wastes time trying to become happy in the material world. The whole Vedic process is to remind one of his essential feature of life. The Lord offers the conditioned soul a material body for his so-called enjoyment, but if one does not come to his senses and enter into spiritual consciousness, the Lord again puts him in the unmanifested condition as it existed in the beginning of the creation. The Lord is described here as Viryavan, or the greatest potent being, because he impregnates material nature with innumerable living entities who are conditioned from time immemorial. Kalavritya tumayayam gunamayam aroksaja purushenatma bhutena viryamadata viryavan. Supreme Living Being in his feature as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes, and thus by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. So continuing on with this subject matter, Maitreya is answering the questions of Vidura, and more about the process of expansion of the Lord in various forms, and the expansion of his energy, and the prakriti, and the impregnation of the prakriti by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, of course, Krishna, original Krishna, he is enjoying in the Krishna Loka. All this work is done by his various expansions, incarnations, so on and so forth. Krishna is always enjoying. He is Ananda Maya. He's always, just like one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Calcutta, and one man said, "I am God," and I think I mentioned the other day, but Prabhupada said that, "Well, answer me one thing, do you ever suffer?" And the man said, "Swami, sometimes I am suffering." And Prabhupada said, "Well, the difference between you and Krishna is that you are the suffering God. And Krishna, he is the enjoying God." Krishna's always enjoying Leela, pastimes. Krishna has qualities over and above. Even Vishnu, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya. He is expert in the flute playing. Just by his flute playing, amazing. You know, the moon stops and the rivers flow, the Jamuna flows backwards, and Lord Shiva, Brahma become stunned. The seasons, the cows and the animals come running, the birds, and the gopis come running. Just by the sound, Radharani comes, the eighth melody of the flute. Amazing. So Krishna has these qualities over and above. Rupa, his form is very, very beautiful, over and above all others. He's always surrounded by loving devotees, engaged in wonderful, loving pastimes. More so than any expansion or even any incarnation. The pastime, the Leela of Krishna is more so than, I mean, we read about Matsya, we read about Kurma, we read about Narasingha, wonderful pastime, Lord Ram, even wonderful pastime. The pastimes of Krishna even surpass these pastimes. He is the original Purusha, the original enjoyer, and he exists in his transcendental abode in the Krishna Loka, surrounded by his loving devotees. All this work of the creation that is done by his Vishnu portions. Here it is mentioned that plenary portion. The other morning, I think, I was describing the different technical terms of the types of expansions and so on. Svayam Prakash, Svayam Vilas, Svayam Prabhav, Svayam Vaibhav, and all. Some have the full potency, some have partial potency. Here we find the plenary. Plenary expansion means Karnadakshaya Vishnu, or the Mahavishnu. The Mahavishnu. He is expanded from the Chaturvyuha, the original, you know, in the Dwarka we have the Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan. They expand again, and then from there, from the Sankarshan, comes the Vishnus, the different. Purusha avatars, they're known as Purusha. Different types of incarnations. We have Leela, we have Guna, we have Purusha, like that. Shaktivesha avatar, all sorts of. Unlimited, practically. The first one is the Karanakshaya Vishnu. He, you know, I was mentioning the other, there is the vast spiritual paravyoma, the spiritual realm. And the rebellious living entities who want to enjoy separately, then Krishna creates the Mahatattva in a corner, and then he goes inside that, he lies down from his paws, the whole ocean is created. It's a Karana Jal, the Jal, Karana Jal. Karana Lakshay, Vishnu. That is the first Vishnu. And the universe has come out from all the different parts of the body of the gigantic Vishnu. It is very gigantic. And they are floating in the ocean. Just like, a nice description in Brahma Samhita. Just like foam floating around on the ocean. Actually, all, so many packed up universes. All the ingredients, elements are there. So this is in the beginning. Living entities who they are within the Vishnu, and then they are impregnated. And this form is plenary, is full powerful. His function is like that. He doesn't have all the qualities of Sri Krishna, but he is fully powerful, especially for the creation. So therefore it is mentioned here that he is the the first Purusha incarnation. So the universes are created, and then of course the Lord expands again and goes into each and every universe. And this Vishnu is called Garbhadaksha, where he lies down and creates a vast ocean within in each every universe. Garbhadaksha, and he expands again as the Lord who enters everything. Paramatma, Chiradakshay Vishnu, in the Svetadvipa. He has his abode, he enters also as the Paramatma. So these are the Purusha avatars expanding. He is everywhere. There is no place that the Lord is not. And as Paramatma, he enters into the atoms. He's next to us. He enters into the atoms. He is causing everything to function. It is because, actually, this Paramatma is causing the kala, the time. By the Paramatma is giving the energy to the atoms and all the molecules and so on. And it's because of his presence that everything is energized. He is entering. And now as far as the living entities, they are impregnated just by the glands. We've been mentioning this, and also Maitreya Muni has said, Prabhupada has explained also, by the glands. Now the glands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada mentions here, the offspring of any living being is born after the father, impregnates the mother with semen, the living entity floating in the semen of the father takes the shape of the mother's form. Similarly, mother material nature cannot produce any living entity from her material elements unless and until she's impregnated with living entities by the Lord himself. It's a great mystery of the generation of living entities. Just by the glands, and then Prabhupada quotes, Angani yasya sakalendriya vriti manti. By glancing, he impregnates any one of the organs. Now this verse from the Brahma Samhita, Angani yasya sakalendriya vriti. Any one of the organs of the Supreme. Now, these are spiritual, the spiritual form of the Lord. Spiritual form. We have our form, spiritual, within the body, but this body is material, made of material elements, matter. But the Lord's body and form are all spiritual. So any one of the organs of the form, of the spiritual form of the Lord, can perform any of the activities of any of the other ones. By seeing, he can hear. By seeing, by glancing, he can impregnate. He can do anything, unlimitedly. Just like when we offer our prayers, we offer our boga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the pujari, just like now, the boga is being offered, and the pujari comes, and by the prayers, and the Lord glances, just by hearing that prayer, just by seeing that, he is eating by his eyes. We have to eat with our tongue and our mouth and everything like that, and we are tasting. The taste buds are on the tongue. If we didn't have tongue, we wouldn't be able to taste, because the taste buds would not be there. If we tried to eat using our other senses and our other organs, it wouldn't be very successful. If we tried to rub the food in our eye, in our ear. That's one story like that. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was offering the boga to all parts of his body. rubbing it here, rubbing it there, because he wanted to nourish his whole body. So very foolishly he was like that. He was very ignorant. He was even chanting the prayers, or karna, sort of offer to the ear, putting the food like that. And so another one saw, what are you doing? I want to nourish the whole body with the food. So this is you put it in the mouth, goes to the stomach, and then the whole body is nourished. don't be so ignorant. So we are very limited with our senses, very, very limited. So we shouldn't think that God is limited like us. That is the main point that is made here by Prabhupada. We cannot conceive. He is inconceivable. Even I was saying yesterday, Krishna, anta te kati yasyami divyatma bhutaya pradanyata kuri nastanto vistaras. I will tell you my prominent energies because they are unlimited, and you will not understand everything. Even the liberated souls, they cannot understand. Nami vidu suragana prabhavam namaha ahamadi hideva namaha shinam chasa. Krishna says that even the gods, the demigods, they cannot understand. What is my position? Even I am the source of the demigods. I am the source of this material nature. I am the source of the living entities. They are my separated parts and parcels. Now, we are living in one universe. There are countless, unlimited universes with all planets and suns, and moons and stars, and so on, and all living entities all throughout. The whole affair is just beyond our ability to even begin to understand, conceive these things. So now, the living entity, the life, comes from the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Him personally entering everything, and he also impregnating the material energy with living entities. So it's only due to the presence of the Lord and the living entities that this material nature appears to have life. It appears that it's giving birth to life. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of the scorpion. The scorpion may come and lay her eggs in the rice grains, and goes away. And then after some time, the eggs hatch and the little baby scorpions come out of the rice. So some ignorant person may think, oh, the rice is giving birth to the little baby scorpions. The rice is the mother of this little baby scorpions. But before that, he didn't see that the mother laid the eggs there, impregnated by the father. People who have got very narrow vision and limited understanding try to calculate how these things are going on. And seeing a secondary, as I said yesterday, a secondary cause and effect. They're not seeing the original. That is beyond their estimation and their power to understand. But they're seeing a secondary and concluding that is the secondary is the cause of the whole. The living entities are apart from the material nature. Material nature doesn't create life. I remember Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj had that book. Life comes from life. You still got that? Life comes from life. Life doesn't come from the matter. Life comes from life. Just like even today, they are saying, oh, we are producing life, we have cloned. We have done in the laboratory. There was a big event, I think in the 90s, when they made that sheep. Was it Dolly the sheep? They cloned. But they're cloning from living organisms. Understand? They're not cloning from dead matter. They can't get a stone and extract something out of the stone and then get it from another rock over here and then put the test tube and then the life comes. They're cloning from already living organisms where they get what cells they get. I'm not an expert in this area, but you know, with its sheep, they clone from the living organism, which was, what's the name of that cell they used? Who's the scientific? Huh?
Somatic cell.
So it's the cells that, you know, make up your lungs and bones and stuff like that. They took from the living, and then they took the ovum, from the female, and then they put together and they incubated the whole thing in a test tube, and then later transferred into the womb of a mother sheep. So the point is, they're taking from living, putting together, and then producing, and then look what we've done. And so since then, before then there were some experiments in that area also, going right back with mice and stuff. And since then there have been others cloning the sheep, and the in China, I believe they've cloned some pigs, and in other places they've cloned some mice or something like that. But inherently they've found there's some defects in this. I mean, that Dolly didn't live so long. So there's the defects. They're trying to manipulate, thinking that it's just a material phenomena, and we can create from. So the life comes from the matter. But actually, it's living, or just like every cell is alive, because actually in the cell there is a living entity. You know, we are the living entity in this body, but all the cells, if you look in the microscope, they're all moving. They all have life. There's a living entity that the karma is they have to take birth as a cell. Of course, Krishna is also there, very minuscule, very tiny. You can't see with the naked eye. All this is going on in another dimension, practically. You know, with our eye, what can we see? But on a small, and of course on the big, what can we see? We can't see big, and we can't see small. But so many things are going on. It's a whole, like a universe there on the small level. And, you know, our body is made up of so many cells, unlimited cells. They're born and die within moments, you know, isn't it? And some of them. There's a living entity who has taken birth. That's some sort of amazing karma that someone has. So our body is made up of so many cells of living entities. We're not the only living entity in our body. There are millions of living entities making up our body. So they take the living and they take the other living and they put together and they got the life. And they're claiming, oh, look, everything we've done. But they're not, even that process, even though they're taking living and from living, even the process itself, they're not producing something that is actually viable, although they're hoping in the future we'll be able to manipulate the whole everything and produce all. It is a very materialistic mentality of trying to manipulate a life when it is fraught with danger and fraught with difficulty, and there's a lot of debate going on about that. But the thing is that why go to so much effort when this is going on automatically but under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And if you want to improve the situation of, you know, some defects, instead of trying to manipulate materially, improve the consciousness. Improve the consciousness, then people won't have to, if they have to be born at all, they don't have to be born with the horrible defects or diseases or whatever, you know, they're trying to eradicate. Understand that point? You know, it's instead of genetic engineering, what about engineering your consciousness? You know, just like, you know, to give good a progeny, just like if you want to have a nice progeny as far as, you know, horses or cows, then you pick there's a science to that. You mate together and then that produces. That's like kind of like a natural kind of situation. Why all this effort to go to the laboratory? You know, it's already going on in nature. And a way to improve everyone's situation as far as overcoming this problem and the other problem is to improve the consciousness, not to manipulate matter. This is my point. And Prabhupada would make this point over and over again. If you improve everyone's consciousness then there won't be such a need for big hospitals and people suffering debilitating diseases and so on, because they're getting that as because of their karma. In the ancient times, in the past ages, they didn't have huge hospitals costing billions and trillions of dollars all over the world, from people suffering from this disease, that cancer, the other thing. They didn't have, because people's consciousness was elevated and they didn't have to get the karma that produces all that. Today, so much, they have their governments are all in anxiety, that their health system and how much money we need to, as people are getting so sick, it's a disease. Everyone knows someone who's got the cancer. We may get the cancer because of this, is it? So it's okay, let's go to the laboratory and overcome this. Why don't you just chant Hare Krishna and change your consciousness, and then the whole situation can change in that way. But because they don't accept the position of the Supreme Personality of God, they don't accept spirituality, they see everything with the material eyes, and so therefore they're limited in their ways of trying to change situations. So whether life is now, normally speaking, as Prabhupada says here, offspring, the living entity comes in the semen of the father, at least in the human form of life. The semen of the father. There may be some exceptions in other species and so on and so forth. But in the human form of life and other species of life, this is the living entity comes like that. Now, if they try to manipulate it and just get living organisms and put them together, then maybe Krishna will make some other arrangement. God's hand will always be there. You cannot, because he, whatever, and these types of things are not new. There have been many Kali Yugas, which of these things have been done before. And certainly Krishna knows. So we always acknowledge the position of the Supreme Personality, the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all affairs of this world. In our affairs and the affairs of the material world. And I've said, I think, before here that, I always remember that there were some scientists who were trying to research, in their human brain, why people feel the need to believe in a God. And, because it's so widespread everywhere, so they were thinking it's just maybe just a function of the brain. They researched and so on and so forth, and they came put forward some sort of presentation that we found the actual area of the brain that we think is responsible for this feeling in people that there's a supreme, and we call it the God spot in the brain. We call it the God spot. And so, actually, very interestingly, some journalist asked one of the a big archbishop in the UK or some big church there. He said, "What do you think of that? That they are calling this the God spot? That actually there's really, meaning implying that there actually really is no God. It's just a function of our brain that is causing us to think there's a God." The archbishop replied, "Well, if there is such a spot, I don't know. But if there is such a spot, God put it there." I thought that was a very good answer. There is such a spot, God put it there. Because how is the brain created? Maybe God has to put a spot so then that enables you to think of something higher. Probably. That might be the situation. And now they've found it. And it's just a function of the brain. Well, where did the brain come from? Where did your body come from? How did everything come about? It's just a material combination. Matter comes from matter. Life comes from matter. No, life comes from life. Prabhupada was very happy with that. Life comes from life. Bhakti Srivadama Damaj. He wrote that book, Life Comes from Life, and he explained very in layman's terms. So this is what we accept. We should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality of God in terms of our conception of sex. And Prabhupada says here, when the creation is manifested, the living entity is directly supplied from the Lord. They're not produced from Prakriti. They, you know, come from the Supreme Personality, but they're within the Garbhodak, you know, as far as, you know, partial annihilations of creation, they go pack up in the body of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu as far as the partial. When there's a total annihilation, all the universes are wound up. Not only our universe, all the universes are wound up, they come back into the body of the Karanadakshaya Vishnu, and so do all the living entities come back into the body. And they come out for another term. Partial, they'll go into the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and they'll come out, and then Brahma will come, and then create, and then they're impregnated again. But they're full annihilation. They always go back into the Karanadakshaya. So they come from the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, they stay for some time, you know, fulfilling their desires, or trying. But Prabhupada ends up by saying them as, you know, he says here that living entities are foreign to matter. No scientific advancement of material science can ever produce a living being, although they're thinking, oh no, we've cloned like this and we've done like that. But they're living organisms. As I said, they're living organisms. Already there's life there. They're not producing from dull matter. They're producing from life. They're taking this life and they're just making the arrangement for it to happen. So they're already producing from life. That is the point. But that's why Prabhupada says no living being can actually be produced, because the actual living beings are supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we come to the world, the whole idea is to come out of our illusion. Krishna gives us a chance to fulfill our desires, but his plan is that somehow or other we come out of our ignorance, we come out of illusion. This is the whole Vedic process, Prabhupada mentioned. The whole Vedic process is to remind one of this essential feature, this essential feature of life. The conditioned souls are offered some sort of facility to enact their pastimes in the world, fulfill their desires for so-called enjoyment. But if one does not come out of it, out of the ignorance and out of illusion, then again, here he says here, if one does not come to spiritual consciousness, the Lord again puts him in the unmanifested condition as it existed in the beginning of creation. This is just what I was explaining. So again, we go back into the Karanadakshaya Vishnu at the end of the total, the pralaya, the total annihilation. We stay unmanifest for some time. And then again, the whole process is put into place again. We come out again. But Krishna is always working to bring us out of our ignorance, bring us out of our illusion. He comes himself, he sends his representative. The Lord is described as Viryavan, full of potency, the greatest potent being, and he impregnates the material nature with innumerable living entities who are conditioned from time immemorial. When we came to the world, from time immemorial, we cannot trace it out practically, how long we've been going through all the different, you know, someone had to be take the birth as the cell, you know, in the cell body. Someone had to be a living entity and live that life. It's like I was saying, there's so many cells in our body, all the living entities are there, so many countless millions. So how many births we've had, how long we've been, Prabhupada just says, it's time immemorial. You cannot trace it practically. Of course, Krishna knows, but you know, practically, you cannot understand these things. Why try to understand these things? You know, you can understand up to the point where you have to live in the world and do your duties and so on. But really, our effort should be for spiritual advancement. Therefore, therefore, Lord Rishabh instructs his son, why work so hard like the dogs and the hogs for temporary pleasures? Why not, if you want to put so much energy, put your energy into spiritual life. Brahma Sukhyam Tvanantam, that is eternal. The Brahma-sokyam, that unlimited internal, that pleasure. That other pleasure is temporary. Work so hard, but this spiritual is eternal. So use your intelligence. He was speaking to his sons. But so somehow or other, Krishna tries to make this arrangement. But there are many who do not take it up. They continue on, and they will go through the cycle after cycle after cycle and become again. Ultimately, they'll come back home, back to God. Ultimately. But how long will you have to go through the cycles? I remember one time here, Prabhupada was giving a lecture about that. Everyone follows my path. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. And someone asked Prabhupada, I'm trying to remember the question, but someone said, isn't it that Krishna says everyone follows my path, that we'll all be liberated? Prabhupada said, yes, eventually, that is Krishna's plan. But how long you will take? And then he gave the example. He gave the example. He said, just like here, you have many skyscraper buildings. You can go to the skyscraper building, and maybe you have to go to the top floor for the office on the top floor. Now you can go by walking on the stairs, and maybe by the end of the day you will reach the office, and the office may be closed. Or you can go in the elevator and immediately reach there. He said, this Krishna conscious movement is the elevator. He said, this is the elevator. If you follow everything nicely, strictly, and very quickly, you can go back home, back to Godhead. So this should be the goal of the intelligent person. Why loiter in the material world and have to go through all the births and the deaths and so many different types of lives and so on and so forth, and practically in the lower species, and when you get down further and further, you don't know anything. You're just living and dying. Of course, the soul never dies, but the bodies. So, in the human form of life, we've got an opportunity to understand some of these things. Other species, they cannot understand. They can sometimes hear the chanting and get some prasadam, but they cannot understand. Their progress, if they get some touch, they will advance nicely. Other species that don't get a touch, they're just going through. But humans, now we can try to understand these things, apply ourselves, and make rapid advancement. So this is the whole process. Is to remind one of this essential feature of life, that one needs to come to the spiritual position. So sometimes we read these descriptions of the big affairs of the, because we're so absorbed in our own tiny existence, and we think that everything is more or less going on around us, but we're very, in comparison to all this, especially the gigantic Vishnu and all the we are reminded of the actual reality of our existence. We are not so significant in comparison to all this, and we are just going on in the cycles. So better to instead of just concentrating on our tiny universe, understand the bigger things and understand how to get beyond that. That is the whole reason for these types of explanations and so on. I'll read this verse again. Kala vrityatumayayam gunamayam maroksaja purushenatmabhutena viryamadata viryavan. The Supreme Living Being in his features, the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes, and thus by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
I just wanted to
They're born, they grow, they die. How do you come to that conclusion, though? Just you think like that.
Like a cell, like a skin cell or a cell, a heart cell.
Why not?
Because I guess it's life from consciousness of the living entity that is within us.
But they can take it out. They can take it out of the body, and it still has life. And they can. So your point, your logic is this: that it's because the soul, we are the soul, and our soul is giving the energy to all the other cells, and that's why they've got life. But even materially speaking, if you're talking about research, they can take it out of the body and put it in a certain situation, and the cells are still. You know what I'm saying? So even if you follow your own logic, the cells have a separate existence than the. Than the soul that's in the body in somewhere else, but they have their own life, and that's what they do. That's how they clone. So they have their own life, and that life comes from the presence. Of course, Paramatma is inside there. God is in, and also the living entity. So you know, Prabhupada would explain like that. Our bodies are made up of unlimited living entities and bacteria and all that type of thing. They're living organisms. The cells themselves is a more dormant form of the living entity. You know, not so active like a bacteria or something like that, but still there's life there, and they're born. They show all the symptoms of birth and growth and duration and dwindling and death. So they show exactly the same symptoms as any other life form. Therefore, you know, we can conclude that there must be a soul there also that gives it the life. Because they can be separated from the soul that's in the body. They can be taken out and they're still active. Given the right conditions, they place them under. So there's still isn't, there's still life there. So this is my point. So. And this I've also read. any other questions? Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.